They were gone. Just like that. Now get in, he ordered. And we're back to Captain Asshole. I climbed into the car and fastened my seatbelt. You owe me coffee. He just gave me a side glance, but didn't say a word. The car was brand new. Literally still had the sticker on the side of the window. Nice ride, I admired.
I'm glad you like it, because I can't come pick you up every day. Being in this cesspool is too painful. The car is yours to use during the course of your studies. Compliments of Fallen Academy, he told me nonchalantly.
My mouth popped open. Say what? The course of my training was 4 years,
so technically you just threw coffee at your own car.
He smiled smugly as he turned onto the 105, which would take us into Angel City.
Jerk.
He was just like the rest of them, always judging. Judging my mom for taking the slave mark, judging me for crossing over the line yesterday. I crossed my arms and decided to ignore him the rest of the way. Ignoring my stomach growling and the lack of coffee in my system proved harder than anything. As Angel City came into view, I found myself pondering why he'd been sent to retrieve me anyway. Was he going to be my new trainer? He was a baby. I was sure there were other Celestials who were more qualified to train me than someone with 4 years of experience. Why exactly are you my trainer? I asked, as the car slowed at the border crossing. One look at Lincoln and the guard waved us through. The second our car crossed over, I saw some of the agitation leave Lincoln's face, but not much. He gave me a side glance.
I'm the only one who offered.
I scowled. Bullshit. He chuckled.
You think everyone was jumping at the chance to train a Dark Celestial?
My skin prickled at those words. Is that what they're calling me? He shrugged.
And worse.
I stared out the windows, an instant depression settling over me. My body felt heavy, numb. What's worse than a Dark Celestial? Dark meant evil. Basically, they all thought I was a flying demon. Lincoln hesitated, as if he wanted to protect me from hearing the worst. Oh, please, don't suddenly become a nice guy, I told him, and he bristled.
Fine. I overheard some at Fallen Academy saying you could be some kind of archdemon.
My legs turned to jello with fear. Archdemon? What's that? He took the next freeway exit and my old neighborhood came into view. The happy flower plants that hung over the balconies reminded me of better times. Fallen Academy was in the beautiful city of Santa Monica, minutes from the beach. It used to be a Catholic school that they built onto across from the beautiful park. As a kid, I dreamed of going there one day. I guess I got my wish.
I don't know, Lincoln said honestly. But they're hoping they're wrong, or that they can at least train you to be good.
Of all the things that had been said, that one stung. I'm not bad. And just because of my mother's choice, I'm suddenly the harbinger of evil? Lincoln ignored me and turned down a side road that led to the gates of Fallen Academy. The entire school grounds were enclosed by 15-foot-high stone walls. I wasn't letting him get off that easy. I'm not a bad person. My mom isn't a bad person. We just work for bad people. Right? My moral lines had blurred since I'd moved into Demon City to save my father's life. Lincoln pulled up to the guard gate, and once again they let him through after one look at him. As the gates opened, I sucked in a breath at the sight. I'd never been inside, only seen pictures. The well-manicured grounds and stone buildings had that regal, old-world feel. It was breathtaking. Turning to face me, Lincoln peered into my eyes.
You were given a choice. And you chose to take the mark. To work for everything that's bad in this world.
So yesterday was a choice? If I hadn't crossed that line, Raphael would have somehow annulled my demon contract. My mother would have been slaughtered. My mouth opened, aghast. Weren't you there? They were going to kill my mother. He shrugged, pulling up to the curb in front of the main office.
War has casualties.
Then he opened the car door and jumped out. Slamming it in my face. Supreme asshole of the year. I stared at my bagel-less and coffee-less hands as rage boiled within me. I wouldn't last 4 years with this guy. I wouldn't last another hour. I gave myself 5 minutes alone in the car, practicing the calm breathing techniques my little brother had taught me. When I was ready, I exited the vehicle and went into the door that Lincoln had gone through. The second I opened it, a blinding white light filled the space, and I found myself struggling to cover my eyes. Hushed voices cut off the moment I walked in, and the light dimmed to a more manageable level. When my eyes focused on what was before me, I nearly fell to my knees in awe. "Oh, I thought I was just picking up my schedule," I explained nervously.
"Lincoln let me keep 4 archangels waiting. I would kill him."
"That's okay, Brielle. Please, come join us," Raphael offered, waving me over to where they stood in a large office.
I surveyed the angels before me. I knew the one with the sword was Michael, but I didn't recognize the other two. Either way, I was scared shitless. Were they going to hurt me? Expunge the evil out of me?
"No one is going to hurt you, dear,"
an angel who stood over 7 feet tall with long blonde hair stated. Oh my god. Mind readers. I was so screwed. I cleared my throat and stepped into the expansive office. Michael was leaning against the bookcase, watching me keenly. His sword hung from his waist. Lincoln was standing in the corner, arms crossed and scowling at me.
"Ruff isn't sure which one of them has endowed you with their gifts, so there will need to be a little ceremony before you can get your tattoo of light,"
he explained from where he rested. Ceremony? Tattoo? I realized then that I knew nothing about this life. These people. I'd been surrounded by demons for the entirety of my teen years, and the Celestials were too rare for me to know anything but rumor. I must have looked panicked, because the archangel with long blonde hair stepped closer to me. His wings were massive and hard to look at for too long.
"I'm Gabriel."
He gestured to a dark brown-haired angel, standing in front of the fireplace.
"That's Uriel. You've met Raphael, and I'm sure you know Michael since he's the famous one."
He grinned.
"Jealous of the stories, my brother?"
Michael joked, beaming.
"Oh, my God.
They were so normal." "Hey, I'm Brielle," I waved nervously. "Why is Lincoln still scowling at me? Can't he just leave?" Raphael stood from his seat behind the desk.
"I've taken the responsibility of teaching the Angel Blessed and standing as guardian over this school. But Michael, Gabriel, and Uriel do not often visit unless it's a special circumstance. They're needed elsewhere, tending to the war."
Oh, shit. Am I the special circumstance? My stomach knotted. I just cussed inside my head. I hope he didn't hear that. Raphael's lips curled into a smile.
"Normally we would have your choosing ceremony publicly, but under the circumstances..."
He gestured to my back, where my wings would have been if they had been out.
"We thought keeping it private was best."
I swallowed. I had no freaking clue what a choosing ceremony was, so I just nodded. I prefer privacy, when at all possible, especially when it came to being the only freak with black wings. Raphael nodded.
"Good. If you'll step forward and produce your wrist, I'll get it over with quickly."
He opened the snaps of a case on his desk and flipped the lid back, revealing a golden dagger with engravings. My eyes bugged out, and I backed up. "Wait, what?"
"You frightened her," Michael said,
sounding annoyed with Raphael. Raphael frowned.
"That was not my intention." "May I?"
Lincoln offered.
"You have to explain things in detail with humans. They don't trust unconditionally like you all do."
He stepped from the corner to approach me. Did he just tell a room full of archangels that I didn't trust them? Murder. Dead. Raphael's brows knotted. Shit. Kidding. Happiness and rainbows. Now he was trying to hold in a laugh. Frick, they could totally read my mind.
"Brielle," Lincoln said,
pulling my attention to him. He rolled up his sleeves, showcasing 2 tattoos, 1 on each forearm. One was a magnificent sword, a brilliant blue. The other was a pair of cupped hands glowing an orangish yellow.
"When I found out I was a Celestial, Raphael made a small cut on my wrist. 2 symbols on the knife glowed, indicating I had powers from both Michael and Raphael. Then I got these tattoos to ignite their individual powers within me."
"Oh, so that's the choosing ceremony." "Okay." I shrugged. Lincoln nodded and then stepped back into the corner of the room,
taking his warmth with him, and leaving me suddenly alone.
Now that we've awakened your powers, you'll need the Tattoo of Light to help harness the angel light that lives within you, Michael stated. That's what the ceremony does. Without it, you would experience discomfort as your powers emerged. Your tattoos will help you harness the Archangel's powers you possess, without harming your human body.
Oh. Wow. I hadn't even thought about what powers I might have, beyond that of my freakish black wings and flying. I missed Shay right then. She was the strong one who would stick her wrist out and say, "Let's get this over with." I decided to channel her before I lost my nerve, stepping forward and holding out my wrist to Raphael. "Will that thing show if I'm an archdemon?" I blurted out. "So much for being brave." Raphael looked shocked.
"Who told you you might be an archdemon?"
I tried to clear my thoughts, but I was too nervous. Lincoln popped into my head and Raphael turned over his shoulder, pinning Lincoln to the wall with his gaze. Lincoln squirmed.
"I merely repeated a rumor."
Michael stood taller.
"I've seen rumors start wars."
Lincoln stared at his own feet. Shit, I got him in trouble. He was going to hate me more than he already does.
"Brielle, let me tell you something."
Raphael cupped my hand, and warmth went through my arm.
"No one, and I mean no one, is born evil. Even those who turn down the wrong path can always come back from it, no matter what."
I swallowed hard, and my eyes flicked to Lincoln, who was still staring at his shoes. It wasn't lost on me that he'd not answered my question about being an archdemon.
"Ready?"
Raphael asked. The moment my head bobbed in consent, the blade licked across my skin. I hissed as he squeezed a few droplets onto the hilt, and then released my hand.
"Sorry, child."
Lincoln was suddenly there, reaching for my arm.
"Would you like me to heal it?"
He could do that? Of course he could. He was some hybrid healer warrior poster child. "I'm fine," I told him, putting pressure on the cut with my other hand. Lincoln frowned.
"Come on, just let me heal it. You don't have to be so stubborn about it."
I glared at him, giving him my best, "I will cut you" look.
"Free will. She said no,"
Michael reminded Lincoln. Lincoln grumbled something under his breath and walked away. The other three archangels started to come forward then, pressing their collective power in on me. It felt like the air had charged with static electricity. The dagger was doing a crazy glowy thing. Peeking forward, I saw a sword symbol light up.
"Ah, lovely. Michael, she's one of yours," Raphael said enthusiastically.
A thrill of excitement went through me, and I looked over at the archangel with the powerful muscles and sword. Michael grinned, but then his face morphed into a mask of confusion. I followed his gaze just as another symbol lit up, glowing hands. That was the symbol on Lincoln's arm, Raphael's. I was a dual celestial hybrid like Lincoln? I was about to say something when another symbol lit up. A pen. And another. A flame. Finally, a fifth one began to light up, but Raphael covered the dagger with his palm and shoved it back in the case before I could see what it was. His expression was complete and utter shock, but there was something else there. Fear. What on earth would be so bad that it would scare an archangel?
"She is blessed by all of us," he declared in a haunting tone.
The room started to sway. I didn't know if it was from standing too close to the archangels, or finding out I had all of their powers, but it was too much. I started falling backward, and the blackness took me. Chapter 4. The first thing that came back to me was sound. I could hear hushed voices talking over me.
"Do you think she's the one from the prophecy?"
I recognized Michael's voice.
"I don't know, but I do know she's an innocent child in all of this, and we should do our best to protect and guide her."
That one was Raphael.
"Of course."
Michael sounded offended.
"I'll try to get word to Metatron. See if he can share any insight."
Raphael sighed again, longer and deeper that time.
"Do not bring our brothers into this. Metatron has firmly taken his side. We'll deal with it."
"She's awake,"
Gabriel said. And my eyes snapped open. What the hell had they been talking about? I didn't want to know, but the reason for my fainting had all come back to me. I moaned and sat up, feeling dizzy.
Brielle, are you feeling all right?
Raphael swam into view. I nodded. I guess.
Of course she's not all right. She's scared.
Michael looked concerned. I straightened my shoulders. I'm fine. Michael grinned.
That's my bravery.
He winked. I blushed. Raphael rolled his eyes.
Let's not start taking credit for everything she does. Brielle, you have to be back in Demon City in 5 hours, but it'll take that long to get your tattoos of light. Are you okay with proceeding?
Ever since I'd seen all those symbols light up, something wild had unleashed within me. I figured it was my power, and it frightened me. If the tattoos would help contain that, harness them, or whatever, I wanted them sooner rather than later. I'm ready. I stood, hands fisted at my side. Michael was staring behind me, looking sad and longing at the same time. I spun around, expecting to see Lincoln, but he was nowhere in sight. Instead, I saw my wings. They must have come out as some defense mechanism. I shifted uncomfortably. The Archangel of Protection and Strength stepped forward and placed a strong hand on my shoulder.
It was admirable, what you did for your mother.
His eyes rested on the crescent moon tattoo on my forehead.
Not a wise choice, but admirable.
That close to him, I could feel his power pressing in on me like a heavy blanket. He must have sensed it, because the moment I thought it, he pulled his hand back and stepped away, walking over to the desk where Raphael had 4 golden goblets set out. I frowned, stepping closer.
You guys drink? I had no idea. Maybe we were going to toast before getting my tattoo. This school already seemed more relaxed than what I'd heard.
Blood of my blood, Raphael said, and slashed the golden dagger across his wrist.
My hand flew to my throat as the goblet filled with the thick crimson fluid.
Blood of my blood,
Michael stated, and took the dagger from Raphael, doing the same thing. I started to back up, fully intent on running the hell out of there and never coming back. But on my third step, I slammed into a warm, hard body that smelled familiar. Strong hands came around my arms and spun me, and I came face to face with Lincoln.
You okay?
His voice held genuine concern, which shocked me.
Blood!
There was no way I was drinking angel blood. No way. He peered past me, and dawning shone on his face.
Raphael, you have to explain things, remember?
He scolded the Archangel.
A human scolding an angel like a friend. What an odd thing to witness.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Brielle, our blood will be mixed with tattoo ink, and that will be what's used to help you harness your power.
Raphael explained cheerily. I'm getting angel blood tattoos? What the what? Lincoln finally released my arms, looking down at me with pity.
This is the weird part. Tomorrow you'll start your studies and get your ass kicked like every other student here. Trust me, it's best to just get this part over with.
4 angel blood tattoos? Should I call my mom? I mean, I'm 18, but coming home with 4 tats is going to throw her into a frenzy. Should the blood be tested for diseases? That was probably a stupid question. They were angels, for crying out loud. I was still standing there in shock when Michael approached me.
It's been an honor meeting you, Brielle. Now I must go and tend to some things.
Oh, right. You too, I answered nervously.
Peace be with you, child,
Uriel offered with prayer-clasped hands, then exited after Michael.
May we meet again.
Gabriel's feathery voice came from behind me, and then he too was gone. I wasn't sure what to say in return, so I just stood there covering my arms. My stomach was eating itself after giving Bernie my breakfast and chucking my coffee at Lincoln.
Is our escort assembled?
Raphael asked Lincoln. He nodded.
And Marlene is waiting. Brielle, dear, would you like something to eat for the road?
Raphael asked from behind me. I spun around, no longer able to hold it in. You totally read minds, don't you?
His cheeks reddened.
You're a very loud thinker.
Lincoln was giving me a smug grin.
Ugh.
I'd love some breakfast. Thank you. I grumbled, because I wasn't sure what to say about the loud thinker thing. Raphael nodded and disappeared into a hallway at the back of the office. When he emerged, he was holding a muffin and coffee.
Cream with two sugars?
He asked. My eyes bugged out. How did you... You know what? Never mind. I snatched the coffee and chugged it, just as a loud knock came at the door. Lincoln stepped forward and opened it, letting three insanely hot celestial guys in. My eyes immediately fell on the one to the left, his wings glowing a pearly white that gave his dark chocolate skin a luminescent glow. He seemed to notice my attention on him and gave me a wink.
Oh. My. God. Brielle, these four fine gentlemen will be your celestial master guides during your studies at Fallen Academy, Raphael instructed.
My master what?
I'm Darren, the one who'd caught me looking offered. I'll be your Uriel master guide.
He stuck out his hand. I shook it. Brielle, the next guy stepped forward, super tall with bright blonde hair and blue eyes. He looked like a Norse god with tight muscles that wrapped around his arms as he extended his hand.
I'm Blake. I'm your Gabriel master guide.
I shook his soft hand and just nodded stupidly. She would shit herself if she saw this many hot guys in one room. The final guy stepped forward. He looked about 20 with dark brown hair and arresting green eyes.
Hello, beautiful. I'm Noah, your Raphael master guide.
He winked. My eyes flicked to Lincoln and then back to Raphael. Can't Lincoln teach me to control my Michael and Raphael powers? Not that I wanted him to, but... Noah burst out laughing.
Not if you want to actually learn anything. Trust me, darling. I'm better with the healing stuff. Logan doesn't exactly have a tender heart.
Logan groaned, giving Noah a death glare. Yeah, I noticed that, I agreed, crossing my arms. There was a chuckle behind me as Raphael stepped forward with a tray full of the blood goblets.
Still working on that humility, are you, son?
He called out Noah. He shrugged.
Just educating her, sir. Yes. Well, she's only allowed to be here until noon, so we must hurry. I'd hate to imagine what it would be like to send her back to Demon City with half-finished tattoos of light.
Noah shivered, as if that would be an awful thing. At that point, I had resigned myself to shock. I'd known being a black-winged celestial wasn't going to be an easy life. But I never imagined my first day at the academy would involve getting tatted up. Darren eyed the four goblets, and then me.
Four. That's so dope.
Raphael frowned.
And remind me again, dope isn't about drugs?
Darren laughed, showcasing a handsome set of straight white teeth.
Not in this context, sir. Right. Let's go.
Raphael flung his hand out, the set of double doors in front of us springing open. I stumbled backward and my wings slammed into Lincoln. Sorry, I mumbled. They started to walk outside when Lincoln reached out and tugged on my arm.
Let's put these away for this little trip, shall we?
He said over my shoulder, right into my ear, his warm breath cascading down my neck, giving me chills. His fingers trailed the length of my left wing, stroking from the top to midway down. With a shiver, they retracted, and then he walked in front of me.
Come on, keep up. This is a dangerous mission, he snapped.
Once I could gather my wits from that little wing massage episode, I ran after him. Why is it dangerous? I asked, stepping out into the open atrium to see no less than 20 armed fallen army guards taking orders from Raphael. Lincoln turned to face me.
One goblet of Archangel blood will fetch a fortune on the black market. Four? It's extremely valuable.
Oh. Why? I hated asking him questions, because each one gave him the opportunity to be a dick. But I was a curious soul, and I needed to know. He squinted as he glared at me.
Your demon friends buy them to sell to the black mages for dark magic. Don't act like you didn't know that.
Anger ripped through me, and my wings popped from my back as I stepped into his space. I don't have demon friends, you prick, and I didn't know. You don't know anything about me, So how about from now on, you don't assume, and only speak to me when absolutely necessary. I blasted past him, knocking into him with one of my wings, and went to stand next to Raphael. He seemed like the only sane one in the bunch. I suddenly regretted letting my wings out, because now the guards were staring at me like I was the angel of death, fascination mixed with fear in each and every one of their gazes. Considering one of the guards was a centaur, half his body a white horse, I shouldn't have been the freak in the group. Raphael smiled as I approached, seemingly oblivious to the effect my wings were having on everyone.
"This is Brielle, your charge," he told the guards.
Each one nodded slightly when I made eye contact with them. Raphael then turned to Lincoln.
"Protect her well and report back to me when it's done."
My eyes widened. "You're not coming?" He smiled softly.
"If I went, it would be like painting a target on your back. It's best if Lincoln and the others take care of you from now on."
I swallowed hard. I felt so safe around him. Probably because he was a freaking archangel, but still. I didn't want to go anywhere with Lincoln. He was an asshole, who hated me, and treated me like a demon-loving piece of shit. Raphael's mouth turned into a frown.
"Be patient with those who appear to be against you,"
he whispered in my ear, patting my shoulder.
"Not all is as it seems."
Pulling back, he gave me a fatherly look, and a feeling of warmth and peace trickled down my arm. My wings drew into my back again. I sighed. "This is going to be a long day."
"All right, let's move out. This is a time-sensitive mission," Lincoln barked.
With a flurry of activity, I was hauled into a row of four blacked-out SUVs. Darren sat on my left, Noah on my right, while Lincoln drove and Blake sat shotgun.
"Dude, where's Marlene going to put four tats?"
Darren asked Lincoln, leaning forward as he made a hard right onto 7th Avenue. Lincoln's eyes flicked to the rearview mirror at me for a split second.
"I don't know. She'll figure it out."
Blake was balancing the tray of blood-filled goblets on his lap, each one having been fitted with a lid to keep the contents from spilling. "Is this a bad time to mention that I'm scared of needles?" I announced. Noah was the first to laugh, but soon everyone joined in, minus Lincoln.
"Don't worry. I'll be there to take your pain, darling."
Noah winked at me. Mr. Winky Wink. He was a wink-happy dude, it seemed. Lincoln groaned from the front seat.
"Noah, are you capable of not hitting on a female? I mean, is that within your realm of skill sets?"
Darren and Blake snickered, but Noah just shrugged.
"Sure, I don't hit on Miss Topeka."
Lincoln took a hard right turn, and then I was totally lost. I didn't know the area, but it was looking seedier and seedier the more we drove.
"She's the 70-year-old librarian," Lincoln countered.
That time, I smiled. I was gathering from their banter that the boys were all close friends.
"Besides, Brielle is too stubborn to accept your help,"
Lincoln continued. I'd always wondered if I was capable of murder, one of those weird thoughts that sometimes cross your mind. Now I was quite sure I was capable of killing Lincoln. I had actually been starting to loosen up and not think about the impending angel blood tattoos when he went and ruined it. "Oh, Noah, I'd love a healing from you. It's Lincoln who makes me shiver just to think of him touching me," I snapped back.
"Ooh."
The car burst into frat boy noises of shame at my smug glare. When Lincoln's murderous eyes flicked up to the rearview mirror, I kept mine forward. "Take that, you venomous judging bastard." He took another hard right, the SUVs behind us following, and then pulled up to a shoddy-looking tattoo shop with literally no one on the street. It looked like a vacated and half-condemned street block. "Where are we?" I asked, mystified.
"This street is spelled to look like a shithole, so no one will come down it. We call it Angel Avenue. It's where we do all of our magical shopping."
Noah winked. The boy was an expert winker. I was venturing to guess he did well with the ladies. Lincoln scanned the street. The other three SUVs had parked, fallen army officers spilling out of them. My eyes roamed over their weapons. Guns, swords, bows and arrows. They were varied, and totally badass.
"Blake, you get those goblets inside," Lincoln ordered. "We'll protect her."
His tone changed with the word "her," like I was a venomous snake.
Let's move out.
The doors popped open then, and we rushed out of the vehicle. The second my boots landed on the curb, the tattoo shop door flew open to a woman in her mid-30s, with tattooed sleeves and long red hair.
Link! She shouted excitedly.
Blake had just reached her with the goblets when a dark shadow passed overhead, momentarily blotting out the sun.
Incoming!
Lincoln shouted, wrapping his big arm around my waist and tucking me into his body, as huge white wings snapped out. He crouched, bringing me to the ground with him while his wings curled around us to shield me. Bullets and shouts rang out as I stayed pinned beneath his body, eyes wide as saucers. I grew up in the hood. Demon gangs were the vilest creatures on Earth, and Shay and I'd had our fair share of run-ins with them. I was robbed quarterly, so I knew we were totally getting jumped right now. And I wasn't going to hide beneath this asshole and get killed. He smelled good, and his pecs against my back were making my stomach do somersaults. But he was still an asshole nonetheless. I must never forget that. Lincoln pulled his sword and popped up on his knees, keeping his wings curled forward to protect me. Or cage me in, depending on how you were looking at it. Reaching into my boots, I pulled out my switchblade and prepared myself to throw down. I wasn't going to have any luck against the guns, but I could gut someone if they got within 2 feet of me. I was good with blades.
Lincoln, look out!
I recognized Noah's smooth voice. Lincoln stood to his full height then, his wings snapping back to reveal me, and I came face to face with a Monkshood demon. Shit. The Monkshood demons were by far one of the creepiest kinds. They didn't have tongues, so they couldn't speak. They wore hooded cloaks to cover their misshapen bodies, but their red knobbly horns stuck out through the top, and they were masters of mental compulsion. The demon's eyes were glowing blue, which I knew meant he was using his gift of compulsion. Lincoln was staring at him dreamily and lowering his sword. They didn't even need to speak to use their gift. That's how powerful they were. They only needed eye contact to get the job done. I saw a glint of steel underneath the Monkshood's cloak and acted quickly. As the demon pulled out his sword, I pushed the button on my switchblade, revealing the sharp knife. Reaching under his cloak, I slashed wildly, cutting into his thick ankles. A roar bellowed from under the demon's cloak, and he broke eye contact with Lincoln to look down at me. The Celestial burst into action, his sword glowing a vibrant blue as he cut down the demon before us. I stayed crouched, assessing the situation and wondering what the hell I should do. Turning my head, I took stock of the scene. Demons and dark mages had rappelled from the roof, the ropes still dangling. There were a dozen of them, at least. One, a beast shifter, in the shape of a cougar, curled brown horns coming off his head. We had them outnumbered, but the dark mages were going to town on the fallen army. A swarm of magical bees was spinning around a group of soldiers, while a demon-bound slave shot bullets, seemingly at random, but in our direction. I sat there, crouched and in shock, as the human with the red crescent tattoo on her forehead cut down the fallen army. It shook me to my core to know I had the same mark on my own head, as did my mother. For the first time, I was regretful about taking the mark. Maybe it would have been best to just let my father go. One of the fallen army soldiers was a light mage. Her hands were glowing a golden yellow as she built up a powerful spell between them. With a battle cry, she thrust her palms outward, and the light exploded. I flinched, unsure what it would do. The demons and black mages left standing all began to scream and hiss, their skin growing an angry red as it smoked. With one final attempt, a tiny 12-inch tall snake root demon slammed against the door of the tattoo parlor. When it didn't open, he leapt onto Noah's shoulder and took a chunk out of it with his teeth.
Ah!
Noah screamed, and threw the snake root demon on the ground. All the demons were looking pretty uncomfortable, close to being set on fire, more like it, and collectively must have decided to ditch the plan. It might have helped that Lincoln was holding the bloody head of the Monkshead demon, and his sword was doing a crazy swirly thing of blue light.
Go!
Lincoln roared, then chucked the head onto the street as they scattered. The demons and their consort scrambled then, shielded from view by a puff of black mist, and then they were just gone. Holy hell on wheels. What just happened?
Noah!
Lincoln leapt to his friend's side. Noah was holding his bleeding shoulder with a glowing orange hand and wincing.
I'm fine, he stated in a gruff voice.
Lincoln turned to me then.
Are you okay?
He asked, his eyes roaming over my body for injuries, before stopping on the switchblade in my hand. I just nodded. About all I could manage at the moment. Lincoln seemed to be gathering himself as well.
All right. Take up the perimeter and radio me if they come back. I'll call the academy for backup. I want 50 more guards here within the hour, he roared.
The warriors spread out, pulling their weapons and watching the end of the street where the demons had fled with eagle eyes. The door to the shop popped open again.
Hey, sweet thing, you okay?
The tatted young woman asked me. I just nodded while her eyes fell to the shank in my hands.
Oops.
I retracted the blade and stuffed it back in my boot.
Dude, she sliced up that monkshed demon's ankles. That was hardcore,
Darren announced. Lincoln was looking down at me like he wanted to say something, but thought better of it.
Inside,
he finally snarled. And then I was being pulled up and into the building. If this was everyday events in Angel City, I was going to have to upgrade my switchblade and work on my fighting skills.
Chapter 5.
Whoa. The tattoo shop was not ghetto by any means. I'd been expecting crumbling plaster, maybe some mold, but the floors were a shiny travertine, and the walls were smooth plaster with various angel-related artwork painted on them. There was a checkout counter, where a balding older man with Coke bottle glasses was reading through a magazine.
Hey, Mr. Hensley,
Noah called out, his glowing hand still on his injured and bleeding shoulder. Is he healing himself? The man looked up, squinted at Noah, and frowned.
Hello, son. You okay?
Noah shrugged.
Snake root demon bite. I'll be fine by tonight.
The tattooed woman led us back to her desk. A leather massage table lay next to it, and a tattoo gun was on the desk beside the four goblets of blood. My heart started to pound in my chest. Four. So gnarly. The woman grinned and looked me up and down. I rubbed my arms. Yeah, about that. I'm a bit needle shy. Can I get, like, one today and the rest next week? I laughed nervously. She looked at me with pity.
Hun, this blood won't last a week, and neither will you without these tattoos.
Once a celestial goes through the awakening, they need their tattoos of light within 24 hours or...
Let's just begin, shall we? She's demon-bound. So we need to get her back to her side of the city by noon.
Lincoln cut her off. Mother effing prick. I wasn't sure if shooting fire out of my eyes was going to be one of my gifts, but I sure felt like it right then. I wanted to burn him where he stood. I had the freaking red tattoo on my forehead. Everyone and their mom knew what it meant. He didn't need to explain it to people. She looked down at her feet.
Yeah, I heard.
Pity. Great. She felt bad for me. What an awful feeling to have people pity you. Can he wait outside? I asked, flicking my head to Lincoln. She grinned.
He can get a bit snippy, can he?
My shoulders relaxed. That's putting it mildly. Lincoln rolled his eyes and patted the massage table.
Come on. Clock's ticking.
I groaned and thrust myself forward, sitting on the table and pinning him with a glare.
Murder.
The guy made my blood boil. She sat down and started preparing her space, pulling out cellophane and little plastic cups of ink. When she was done, she picked up the tattoo gun, dipped it in one of the goblets, and looked up at me.
I'm Marlene, but you can call me Mar.
I smiled. Brielle, but you can call me Bree. Lincoln made what sounded like a gagging noise, and I had to refrain from pulling my switchblade back out.
So here's the thing, Mar continued. Tattoos of light aren't like regular tattoos. They bind to your soul, and it can be quite painful. Do you pass out easily?
At her words, the room spun.
Yes, she does, Lincoln answered for me.
I crossed my arms and turned to face him. Please tell me it'll be part of my training to practice kicking your ass, I said through gritted teeth. Marlene flicked the gun on, and it started buzzing.
I really like her.
She smiled at Lincoln. He sighed.
Noah, I'll handle her healing. You can't heal her with your shoulder injured.
The serial winker seemed to consider Lincoln's words.
Yeah, if that's cool with her.
I chuckled. I don't need a healer. Let's do this. I urged Marlene.
If these boys thought I needed a healer for a tattoo, they would always treat me like glass. They were my master teachers, or whatever, and I wanted them to know I wasn't frail. Marlene grinned.
Hardcore. Take notes, boys. I gave her a conspiratorial smirk and extended my left forearm.
Marlene took a deep breath and leaned forward with the buzzing gun. Her eyes flashed silver, and it was only in that moment that I realized she was a light mage.
Lux Sancta, she whispered, and a white beam shot out of the tattoo gun and into my arm.
The needle came down, and a searing pain like I'd never experienced before slammed into me.
Motherfwa!
I screamed. It hurt everywhere. Every cell in my body was on fire. Lincoln extended his hand, which began to glow orange, and I whipped my head in his direction.
Don't touch me. I don't want a healing from someone who thinks I'm the scum of the earth. I spat.
I knew the moment the hurt crossed his face that I might have gone too far. What scrap of kindness was left within him for me had vanished. His jaw clenched, and he stood taller, crossing his arms.
I'm going to walk the perimeter,
he stated with barely restrained anger. When the pain ramped up a notch, I considered crying out his name, but bit my lip instead. I'd been through worse. I could handle this. Besides, the guy was a total dick to me, and I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of letting him know I needed him. An hour later, I had my first wave of nausea.
I'm gonna be sick,
I shouted, and Mar pulled up the tattoo gun just as I lunged forward and puked into the trash can near her desk.
Call Lincoln,
she instructed Darren, who'd been standing near me, trying to chat with me and keep my mind off things.
No,
I shouted in between heaving into the trash can. We'd only just finished the first tattoo. I had three more to go and I wanted to die, but my pride held on strong. Marlene handed me a towel and sighed.
Look, babe, I get it. You and Link have something going on, but you're not going to be able to sit for the other three without his help.
Damn it. What if I came back tomorrow? I asked hopefully. She shook her head. Aside from the magic leaving the blood, you wouldn't make it that long without the tats. These tattoos harness your powers so they don't shatter your earthly body as they come alive. My eyes bugged out. I'd heard a story about a celestial who ran off after the awakening, and they didn't find him in time. He exploded into a ball of light. I'd always thought it was just a crazy rumor. Lincoln arrived then, towering over me and looking gorgeous, as I wiped the puke from my mouth. His eyes fell on the blue Michael tattoo on my forearm, the same one as him. It was outlined in angry red swelling. He didn't speak, which was a first, and probably the smartest thing he'd done all day. Instead, he just extended his hand to help me up. I could refuse it and be an asshole, but I was too tired to tend to my pride anymore. Reaching out with my good arm, I clasped my hand in his. When we touched, an electric jolt ran through me, and I almost pulled away. Then his hand glowed orange, and like a balm on my wound, the pain was chased away. I sighed in pleasure as I crawled back onto the table.
You're like a Vicodin, I mumbled in exhausted pain.
He didn't say anything, but the corners of his lips twitched.
And you're like a third-degree burn.
I scoffed. Oh, please. I'm not that bad. Second-degree burn, maybe. The corners of his lips twitched higher, and I decided to make it my mission to see him smile. I bet he had a good smile. The gorgeous assholes always did. The tattoo gun started again, and my entire nervous system jumped into action. Tightening my grip on his palm, I flinched as the light and needle hit my skin. The moment the pain tore into me, it was chased away, and a numbing sensation lay over it. The pain was still there, just on the surface, but nothing compared to what it was before. Lincoln's hand gripped mine, and I flicked my eyes up to see his dark brows pulled together. A chunk of hair stuck to his forehead, which was starting to sweat.
Interesting.
After being in such extreme pain for over an hour, this was a welcome relief, and was actually making me quite sleepy. Not enough to fall asleep, but enough to where I could lay my head down and close my eyes. Rest my frayed nervous system. Before I knew it, she was done with the second tattoo.
Okay, I've never done more than two, so where are we putting the others?
The backs of her calves, Darren offered.
My eyes sprang open. Oh my god, no. Calf tattoos are for overweight men in biker gangs. Marlene cracked up laughing. Lincoln and I realized at the same time that we were still holding hands. He pulled his away, and the pain came rushing back. Wiping it on his jeans, he looked at Marlene.
Does the placement matter?
She shrugged. Not at all. My eyes flicked up to a picture on the wall of a girl in a bikini top with a heart tattoo on her ribcage that said, Mom, inside. Ribcage? I asked. Her eyes widened a little. That's a painful spot. My mouth popped open.
Is that a joke? There are actual spots that are more or less painful? You're shoving a burning needle of light into my skin.
I think it's all the same. She chuckled.
Your call, kiddo.
I laid back and peeled up my tank top, tucking it into the bottom of my bra. Every single pair of male eyes flicked to my abdomen for a brief second, even Lincoln's, and then they turned their backs, a few of them clearing their throats uncomfortably. Oh, come on. It's just a belly button. Turn back around. They did as told, keeping their eyes on my face that time.
It's a pretty cute belly button, Darren offered.
That brought a smile to my lips. I was thinking that when I start school tomorrow, it might be nice to hide some of my freakiness. I have black wings, and it would be nice not to parade the 4 tattoos everywhere. Marlene frowned.
I want to tell you that college is better than high school, and bullying doesn't exist, but I'd be lying. Fallen Academy is like high school on steroids.
Nervousness ripped through me at her comment, but I tried to play it off. I grew up in the hood with a bunch of demons. I'm sure I can handle some rich Barbies who think they're better than me. I'd done it. I'd succeeded in making Lincoln smile. And damn, he had dimples. The second he caught me looking, he expertly turned his smile into a scowl, trying to cover it up. But I saw it. He thought I was funny. Score. Oh, wait, no. I hate him. I'd forgotten how mean he was because he'd spent the last hour healing me. It was messing with my mind, playing tricks on my emotions. The tattoo gun turned on again and I braced myself. My mom was going to have a major hissy fit over the tattoos, but I was hoping the knowledge that I would have exploded without them would ease her pain. Agony flared to life on my side, and I muttered a curse word.
Why?
I shouted, and gripped the edge of the massage table.
Isn't angel blood holy or something? Couldn't it have Novocaine in it?
From my toes, up my tailbone, and into my scalp, red-hot needles drilled pain into the very corners of my soul. Marlene smirked.
You're not the first to ask.
Lincoln's hand slipped over mine again, warm, soft, and gentle. I swallowed hard as heat built in my gut. Orange light covered my palm, and then the pain lessened.
Sigh.
Shay wasn't going to believe my day. I wasn't even sure how to describe to her what had happened. The fact that I'd had about 5 hours of sleep and still had an entire workday ahead of me was starting to hit me. Right after my tattoos, I needed to report to my new boss, my mom's boss. He ran a business of reanimating the dead, and I wasn't a necro, which meant I would probably be given the shitty jobs at his clinic until I graduated Fallen Academy and learned to use my powers. Then what? Fight against the Fallen Army? Fly into battle and kill one of the people in this room? Oh, God. What have I gotten myself into? When Marlene was halfway through my third tattoo, I fainted.
What's wrong?
Lincoln asked, worried, as I had regained consciousness.
It's a lot of power. Magic tying itself to her soul. I've never done it before, Marlene explained.
Finish. Then food.
I'd managed to say. Lincoln frowned.
Order her a pizza,
he barked at Noah, who'd been reading magazines in the corner of the room and regrowing his shoulder flesh the entire time. Marlene was now drawing the last line of the last tattoo, and Darren was feeding me small bites of pizza.
It's 11:14 a.m.,
Lincoln informed, as Marlene finished and pulled the gun away. The room spun as I sat up too quickly.
I gotta get back. Today's my first day with my mom's boss. He'll make her life hell if I'm not there.
I pulled my shirt down and tried to stand, but the room did a somersault, and then I was falling.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Lincoln caught me.
You can't drive or go to work like this.
My eyes found his. I have to. Nothing about my life is a choice. He flinched at my words.
Okay, then let me do one more healing on you before you go. I've had my first officer bring your car out front. There's a GPS inside. It'll guide you back.
I nodded. Okay.
Be back tomorrow at 6. You'll study with the four of us until your first class at 8.
I frowned. 6 is kind of painful. Can we do 7:30? I gave him my best sweet girl smile.
No,
he barked with a glare. I groaned.
Fine.
Lincoln nodded.
Noah had come from his place in the corner of the room and was watching Lincoln keenly.
Are you sure about this last healing?
I was clutching my ribcage and swaying like a drunken chick at prom.
Yeah, bro, I got it,
Lincoln told him. Suddenly, both of his hands lit up a glowing deep carroty color, and I stared at the light, mesmerized. He took one step closer to me and placed his hands on my head. The moment the light touched my skull, I felt my pain and fatigue lift. A jolt of energy zipped through my body, like I'd just chugged 2 cups of coffee. Looking up, I saw Lincoln wincing in pain, and sweat beat his brow. His knees suddenly gave out, and he collapsed to the floor as his hands ceased their glowing. What's wrong? I asked frantically, bending down to try and help him. Noah looked down at Lincoln with an unreadable gaze.
Celestials with Raphael's healing power do not heal wounds on other people. They take the pain into themselves and then heal it from within. He'll be okay after a day's rest.
Oh, God. He took my pain and now he's feeling it? Why would you do that? I asked Lincoln, perplexed. He was panting on the floor, holding his ribcage.
Go,
was all he said. Darren gripped my arm and hauled me outside. The last thing I saw was Lincoln sitting on the floor in pain, and it changed the way I felt about him. It changed everything.
Chapter 6. I was in a mild state of shock and barely remembered the drive across the city border to my mom's office at the reanimation clinic. I was 7 minutes late and hoping my new boss wouldn't notice. I didn't want to tell Lincoln that I'd only learned to drive barely 3 months ago in my mom's beat-up Volvo with no power steering. I took the bus everywhere, so I didn't need to learn, but my mom had insisted. Now I was throwing a brand new $50,000 SUV into park outside a necro clinic where I was most likely going to wash dead bodies. Joy. As I jogged through the front door, I could feel some mild burning at the sight of my tattoos, but nothing as major as it'd been before. Lincoln had taken everything from me so I could get through my shift reanimating the dead. Why would he do that?
You're late!
Master Burdock screeched from behind the desk. I skidded to a stop, clutching my chest. Dude had come out of nowhere, as brimstone demons often did. I knew better than to offer excuses. Sorry, sir, it won't happen again. He peered at me from behind his glowering black beady eyes, his horns casting menacing shadows on his face. When he got really pissed, the tips smoked. It was beyond freaky. In the hierarchy of demons, brimstones were up there. Rumor was, they were almost directly under the Prince of Darkness himself, in his inner circle.
Did you learn anything at your fancy school?
He leered at the tattoos on my arms. I wasn't sure what answer would please him, so I offered the truth. Not really, sir. He nodded and stepped out from behind his desk, careening to his full 7-foot height.
My source says you'll learn enough to control your powers in the first year. After that, you'll be with me full-time.
Terror flushed through me. Oh, but it's a 4-year course, I mumbled. He stepped closer and crouched down. The ends of his horns started to smoke, and I nearly pissed myself at the smell of sulfur. My mom said he could breathe fire when really mad. I hoped I wasn't going to experience that firsthand.
You're mine. Don't forget that. You think I'm going to allow them to initiate you into the Fallen Army and have you working against me? Not on your life, child. 1 year, that's all you get.
I swallowed hard. Yes, sir. He nodded again, and the smoke began to dissipate.
For now, you'll assist your mother. Wash the bodies, mix her potions. Once you're trained, I'll have bigger assignments for you. Things that can change this war in our favor. So, learn to fly, and whatever else it is you Celestials do, because I'm counting on you to be powerful and make me a lot of money, lending out your services.
Shit. Yes, sir, I said, eyes on the floor. Lincoln was right to hate me. I'd been naive in thinking I could be a demon slave and not really have to hurt anyone.
Well, go! Get to work! We got 6 bodies today!
He roared,
I took off past the reception desk and through the double doors. The second I arrived in the back room, the stench of death, formaldehyde, and sage smoke hit me.
Mom.
I'd helped my mom out a few times in the clinic when she was swamped, so I knew my way around the back. She was elbow deep in a soapy wash basin, scrubbing a 50-something female's body with a sponge. She turned to me, her face lighting up.
Bree, how was your first day?
Her eyes fell to my tattooed arms.
Oh, wow. Tattoos. Okay.
I rubbed my arms. Yeah, I guess they're needed for controlling my powers and stuff. Each one relates to an angel whose power I have, or something. I wasn't sure I fully understood it. Her brow furrowed.
How many are there?
I winced.
Four,
I whispered. She dropped the sponge.
Four? Is that normal?
My eyes widened. Mom, is that really what you want to ask your daughter with black wings after her first day? If I'm normal? She winced.
Okay, true.
Well, it is what it is.
Can you finish cleaning up, Mrs. Colpo? I've got to get the potions ready for Mr. Denner.
Ugh. Double freaking ugh. I guess it was better than being a gristle. So far. Now that I was looking down at my tattoos, I noticed the angry red lines were already healing. I'd heard about celestials having self-healing powers. But now that I thought of myself having something like that, it freaked me out. It made me feel less human. My shift at the clinic was from noon to four, and then I was free to go home, do homework, or whatever. My mom didn't get off until five, so I told her I'd pick up Shay from work and start dinner. After her shock wore off that I was now the proud owner of a brand new car, she let me leave. Mr. Burdock wasn't at the front desk when I left, which was a relief. Climbing into the SUV, I booked it to the strip club to pick up Shay. She was doing half days at Tainted Academy to learn her magecraft, and then half days at the club to earn a living, her day ending at 4:30. I pulled into the parking lot a minute early, and when I saw Shay come out the front door, I laid on the horn. Her eyes flicked up to my car, and then she squinted. When she realized it was me, her mouth hung open in shock, which quickly gave way to a grin.
"Shut the front door! Please tell me this is ours!" she shouted, after yanking the door open.
"If by ours you mean mine, yes, it's ours."
"Eek!"
she squealed, flapping her hands like a lunatic. Her eyes then shot to my tattooed arms.
"Holy tatted up hottie, tell me everything."
I laughed. Other than the new car, it was actually an awful day. My new celestial teachers are insanely hot, but the main guy is a total dick. I spent 5 hours straight in literal torturous pain, and then I spent the last 4 hours scrubbing dead bodies. "Want to smell my hands?" she gagged.
"I'll take your word for it."
I put the car in reverse and pulled out onto the main road to head back to our apartment. "How was your day? Is Tainted Academy really haunted? Are the teachers really abused demons?" Our schooling in Demon City thus far had been taught by humans, a contract the Fallen had drawn up for us. Anyone under 18 received a free, somewhat normal education. Math, science, and all that crap, with a few magical classes for added flair. Yet, I heard that at Tainted Academy, all bets were off. Demons taught the classes, and the fallen angels had nothing to do with it. Shay sighed.
"I don't really want to talk about it."
I froze. Pulling the car over in front of a demon horn trade shop, I shifted into park.
"Shay. Shit. Was it that bad?"
Shay never wanted to not talk about anything. I couldn't shut her up if I tried. Sure, she had her moments, but she always wanted to gossip. She was hands down the toughest person I knew, inside and out. Unfolding her arms, she extended one to me. There, on her forearm, was a big black skull tattoo with a green snake head coming out of the eye.
"Holy shit. A dark mage mark.
Why do you have that? I mean, isn't it soon to do that? I thought only advanced dark mages got one of those, after schooling, once they'd pledged their magic to the dark side until death. Or maybe that was just a story my mother told me to help me sleep at night.
I imagine it's the same reason why you got your tattoos so soon. To claim us for their side.
Whatever. It is what it is." She crossed her arms and stared out the window as it started to rain.
"No.
Shay, I have a car. Say the word and I'll drive us out of here. We'll go to Canada and live in the woods or something." I promised her I wouldn't let her go dark, and I'd meant it. Her eyes filled with tears as she faced me. The tattoo is also a magical tracker. Just take me home.